Hi, this is John Edmiston with Uplifting Moments, and today's topic is the mysterious grace of God. It's from my book, Downloading Grace from Heaven, which you can get at downloadinggrace.com. Before we get into this chapter, let's pray. Father in heaven, you are the God of all grace and all comfort. You touch our hearts and our lives and our minds. You strengthen us in the inner man. Now, today, I pray for everyone listening to this broadcast that they will be blessed by you and strengthened by you, and that their hearts will be enriched by the grace of God. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, so we find out that life is not about how good you are or how bad you may have been. It is about what Christ has done for you on the cross and how you can access that grace by faith. Grace isn't just something that's stored up in heaven in a sort of woolly cloud that you can't touch or which comes down in random chunks for some people and not for others. Grace can be and needs to be accessed in real time in the midst of our busy lives, stress and illness. Grace is for ordinary people like you and I who cry out to God in time of need. This grace changes us and perfects us. And this little series that we're going to do on this radio program, it's going to teach you how to find God's grace when you require it. And this is an essential part of the Christian life. It's part of how you deal with life is when you face a problem, you go to God in prayer and you ask for his grace and help in time of need. And God will give you the wisdom and the strength and the peace and the patience that you need to deal with your family issues, your financial issues, or whatever issues you are facing in life. Okay, so the kind of grace we're talking about in today's program is sustaining grace. We're not talking about the saving grace of the hymn, you know, Amazing Grace, How Sweet the Sound. This is the grace that sustains you on a daily basis as a Christian. And sustaining grace, it's also called sanctifying grace, is God's gift of heavenly power to perfect us in Christ. What then is perfection? What is the goal of the Christian life? Where are we headed? The Christian life is a spiritual journey towards perfect love and the image of God. Whoever loves their neighbor has fulfilled the law, and we find that in Romans and Galatians. Therefore, to love perfectly is to arrive. So the grace of God is always trying to push us in a certain direction, and that's the direction of loving our neighbor as ourselves, of forgiving people, loving people. The grace of God softens your heart and my heart so that we hear God clearly and we do good things to other people. And so God's love flows through us because of God's grace. So how do we arrive? How do we reach this goal of loving our neighbor as ourselves? By grace. Grace strengthens us to do these things. The supernatural power of the grace of God is the only thing that can turn us from selfish sinners into loving saints. It's very hard to change yourself, and only God's grace can do that. Grace saves us, grace sanctifies us, and grace produces true Christian love for our neighbor within us. So, how do we get God's grace? How do we get this good stuff? By faith, that is by believing God's promises and by participating in his plan of salvation through faith. So, God dispenses grace from heaven, and we receive that grace by faith. Faith, by believing that it's available on a daily basis and laying hold of it. God gives us far more than we deserve. God even gives us far more than we can ask or think. We deserve nothing, and yet we receive everything. Grace means that the spiritual course of our life is arranged by a benevolent being, that's God. God's kind, God's good, and he is arranging your life and my life. God has an immense amount of good in mind for us that we did not earn and that we did not achieve. We are not self-made men or women, but grace-filled children of Almighty God. And let's look what God said about the prophet Jeremiah. Jeremiah chapter 1, verses 4 and 5. Now the word of the Lord came to me, saying, Before I formed you in the womb, I knew you, and before you were born, I consecrated you. I appointed you a prophet to the nations. He's saying this about Jeremiah. The course of Jeremiah's life was arranged by the Lord, even before Jeremiah was conceived. And that's true about many Bible people, such as Jacob, Esau, Joseph, Samson, John the Baptist, and the Apostle Paul. So then we're saved by grace and sanctified by grace, and the whole of our Christian life is the gracious work of a very powerful God. Okay, what is grace? Grace is an attitude of God towards us. It's his kindness towards us. It's his undeserved favor. Grace is also the effect of God's kindness. Grace is dispensed from heaven and flows to people who believe, so that Paul can say, grace and peace to you. When he speaks, he's speaking grace and peace to you, and he speaks that as a blessing, and they receive it. Grace energizes everything in the Christian life, so that when revival came to the early church, it was said, and great grace was upon them all. And that's what I want. I want grace to be upon all of us, to be upon all of you who are listening to this broadcast. This use of the term grace is something dispensed by God toward his saints is the main sense that we're going to be using it in this little series on the radio. God's grace originates outside of the physical universe. Grace dwells in an alternate spiritual dimension that we call heaven. More on that in the next chapter, as we see next week. Grace flows from heaven to us. Christians who are able to step into the flow of grace are blessed. That's what I call downloading grace from heaven. We download the grace of God. It's available. It's there in heaven. It's there in God. It's there in the cross. It's there in Jesus. It's there in the Bible. We've got to get it out of those places and into ourselves. And that's what faith does. Faith lays hold of the grace of God and the invisible powers of God and makes them real in your life and my life so that we're changed, we're made into better people, we're more patient, we're more kind, we get better success in life because we become a better person. God blesses us by dispensing his grace in our direction, but it doesn't stop there. Grace works for God's purposes and God's plans. So before we can understand grace, we need to know a little bit about God's plans for the universe, because grace never is given outside of God's plans. If you want to be the best Christian burglar, God's not going to give you grace for being a Christian burglar. You've got to be a sanctified person. You've got to be doing God's will, loving people, being kind, and all that sort of thing. So God's grace comes to you as you enter into God's plans and into God's purposes. And as you get on with God's work, then God's grace will come to you. If you're trying to live a very selfish life, or a life of crime, or a life of anger and violence, then God's grace isn't going to be there because you're outside of the will of God. So God's grace comes to you as you get into his plans and into God's purposes. So as Christians, we participate in something that the Bible calls the mysteries of God. And these mysteries aren't really mysteries. They're just open spiritual secrets. And they include things like God's eternal plan of salvation, God's plan for the church, the relationship between Christ and the church, God's salvation plan for Israel, the secret of Christ in us, the hope of glory, the secrets of the kingdom of heaven revealed in the parables that Jesus taught, and the secret of the resurrection and of the resurrection body. And the Bible uses the word mysterion, or mystery, for these things. And they're things that Christians understand and the world doesn't have a clue about. The world doesn't believe in the resurrection of the dead. It doesn't believe in the secrets of the kingdom of heaven revealed in the parables. These things the world just mocks at and scoffs at. But to those who believe, they're very important things, and we lay hold of them in our life. So God's grace enters our lives so we are transformed and equipped to do good works that advance the plans and purposes of God for all eternity. So we're created to do good works, and it says that in Ephesians 2:10. We're created to do good works, and God's grace helps us to do those good works. These plans and purposes and good works are mysterious to unbelievers, and some of them might even scoff at them. But to those of us who follow Jesus, it makes sense. The Christian life makes sense. Forgiving people makes sense. Turning the other cheek makes sense to those who believe. We tend to want God's grace for our own purposes, to make things tidy, neat and comfortable, or to fix up our mess. And Psalm 107 shows us that indeed God is very interested in fixing up our messed up lives. Psalm 107. Go read it sometime. It's a fantastic psalm. However, there's a lot more to grace than just crisis management. Let's look at Job. Job was a guy who tried very hard to live a perfect life. He was righteous. He was good. He did all the right ceremonies. He kept his kids in line. Everything was good. And he said, if I'm good, God will bless me. And he will have a smooth running life. But then Job ran into the devil, who decided to go and mess up God's servant, and who goes to heaven and says, I want to mess up Job's life, and he'll cuss you out. He'll be bad to you. And instead of having a smooth life, he had a very rough life for a while. Everything went wrong He lost all his children, lost all his money, lost all his social respect, was covered in boils and sores. Terrible thing. But then God intervened and turned it around and gave Job back double. So Job was trying to run his life by works and not by grace. In the end, he realized that God's in charge. God came and spoke to him. He turned around. His life was turned around. And out of the bitterness and the unfairness of the circumstances, he began to see the hand of God. And he began to see that it wasn't about him being good, but about God being gracious and kind. So eventually Job realizes that God's ways were perfect, and he repented in dust and ashes, and he was given double his original blessings. So we can't control God with rituals. We can't control God with our good works. We can't control God by saying, we've done this, this, and this, therefore I deserve that. That's not the way it works. Rather, God is gracious to you. If you come to him, if you repent of your sins, if you turn to Jesus Christ and say, okay, God, please take over, then God will take over and he'll be kind to you and good to you. If you made a mess of your life, doesn't matter. God is gracious. God is kind. God will wipe away your sins, wipe away your past, and be very gracious to you, because that's what he's like. He's kind. You don't have to be perfect to have the kindness and goodness of God all over your life. Let's look at a passage from Zechariah chapter 3, verses 1 to 7, and then we'll wind up. Okay, then he showed me Joshua the high priest standing before the angel of the Lord, and Satan standing at his right hand to accuse him. And the Lord said to Satan, "The Lord rebuke you, O Satan. The Lord who has chosen Jerusalem rebuke you. Is not this a brand plucked from the fire?" Now Joshua was standing before the angel, clothed with filthy garments. And the angel said to those who were standing before him, "Remove the filthy garments from him." And to him he said, "Behold, I have taken your iniquity away from you, and I will clothe you with pure vestments." So they put a clean turban on his head and clothed him with garments, and the angel of the Lord was standing by. And the angel of the Lord solemnly assured Joshua, "Thus says the Lord of hosts, if you will walk in my ways and keep my charge, then you shall rule my house and have charge of my courts, and I will give you the right of access among those who are standing here." So here, this is Joshua the high priest, not Joshua of Jericho, but this is many years later when they're re-establishing the temple. And Joshua the high priest was someone who had sinned. His garments were filthy. Satan's saying, "Look at this guy, he did this and he did this and he did this." And God said, "No, I'm not taking any notice of you, devil. This person's a brand plucked from the fire. Joshua the high priest is my servant, and I'm going to be gracious to him, and I'm going to give him my righteousness, and he's going to give him these new clothes, which represent a new life." And God wants to give you a new life. He wants to take away all the things that have gone wrong in your life, things that you feel might be heavy or shameful or disgraceful, things that you might have done, or things that might have been done to you that make you feel broken and ashamed now. And God's grace is there for you. God is kind. God is good. God wants you to have a terrific life. And you just need to trust God. You need to believe God. And so this is John Edmiston signing off with Uplifting Moments. And the book website is downloadinggrace.com. Downloadinggrace.com. You all be blessed and have a great Sunday. We bless you now in the name of the Lord. Amen.